Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. We are back with another draft profile, this time one Adam Fantilli. And why, if you don't get Bedard, getting Fantilli isn't too bad. So we're going to break down Fantilli's game, where he would fit on the Sharks in their prospect pool, kind of the timeline for Fantilli to be an NHL player. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making Locked on Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can watch this on YouTube as well. And we are back into the prospects. So Adam Fantilli, super fun prospect. Again, like it's with Connor Bedard in this draft, it's what he's doing. We talk about this with good friend with Hattie from Locked On NHL Prospects. We talk about like how what Bedard's doing is so just ridiculous, kind of overshadows just how well guys like Fantilli and Leo Carlson are. But Adam Fantilli is going to be an awesome, awesome player. So before we get into the actual draft profile breakdown, do want you to know that today's episode is brought to you guys by FanDuel. The official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, now we bring on Locked On NHL prospect host Hattie to talk about one Adam Fantilli. How are you doing today, buddy?
Doing very good. How are you?
Hanging in there. It's been one of those weeks, I think, for everybody this week. So we're going to bring you on, talk to you about one of the most intriguing consolation prizes I think there possibly is in any NHL draft, and that is one Adam Fantilli, the forward out of Michigan. Want to start by kind of first getting people to know Mr. Fantilli. He's a center, plays for Michigan in the NCAA, 6'2", 187-pound big boy. So far this year, 20 games, he's got 14 goals and 18 assists with 78 shots on goal. And he is basically kind of the universal second pick in the draft right now, heading in, you know, this early into it. What is a team getting with Adam Fantilli?
Well, you're getting a complete player. I think that's the best way to describe him. I don't think he really has anything in his game that's properly missing. Some parts of his game are average or just even slightly above average, and that's about as bad as it gets with Fantilli.
No.
Goodness, so horrible. But genuinely, he's all over the place. In the offensive zone, in the defensive zone, he influences play in all three zones. Great in transition. He's got that sort of, you know, when teams talk about, oh, we're looking for a power forward center. Fantilli is about as good a power forward center as you get, because he's not limited to one or two plays like most power forwards are, where they'll, you know, drop the shoulder, cut to the net, bring the puck into dangerous ice, create using their speed and their strength, and that's about it. Fantilli can create laterally. He can find seams, cross ice really well. He's got a tremendous shot from mid and long range as well. He's not just sort of a short range shooter. He can play the off puck game really well, both offensively and defensively. I look at this player and I see just a player with really no discernible sort of bona fide weaknesses, which if you get that at second overall, especially with the strengths he has, his skating, his strength, his shot, his playmaking, I mean, it's all just so, so good. I don't think there's a better second overall pick in recent memory other than maybe Jack Eichel, which is a long ways ago in 2015. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what the big comparison, right, is, you know, Fantilli to Eichel, you know, probably the best college player since, you know, Eichel. Most drafts, if you didn't have a Connor Bedard, who is considered to be a generational talent, Fantilli's going number one in, you know, 9 out of 10 drafts, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I think you could go as far back as Jack Hughes, and that would be the only player I would say that would go above him in an NHL draft. So in the last couple of years, I think he outranks all of the first overall picks that were there. And it's crazy. This year, there's probably four or five guys that I would say would have been first overall picks last year, for example. So it's just a ridiculously strong draft. And I think that, you know, there are some major differences between Eichel and Fantilli, mainly work rate, mainly frame and usage of body in physical scenarios along the boards, puck races, all that. But in terms of the draft itself, having that bona fide generational talent first overall, named Connor, and then an NCAA powerhouse at second overall, it's very similar to 2015.
So, I mean, you talked about his strengths and stuff. What is the one, like, most NHL, like, what's the one thing that you're like, okay, this dude, this is what makes him so special for his strengths?
It's his physical game. I mean, there's a difference between being big and strong but also using your body effectively. I've seen some 5'8", 5'7", forwards that are better physical players than 6'6", 6'7", players, and it's mainly how they utilize their body, and I think Fantilli does that exceptionally well. His effectiveness in board battles, the way that he approaches players, the way that he approaches puck races, if he knows a player is going to get there first, he's going to angle his body a certain way, he's going to cut off the hands of the opponent. These are all small details that if you add that on top of his frame, it just becomes so deadly, and that's why I sort of call him a sort of modern-day power forward. It's mainly because of that element. It's just the fact that he dominates almost every physical battle he gets into and does a really great job along the boards.
I mean, and then that sounds great, right? Like, you know, I mean, yeah. We all love skilled players, but at some point, like, size does matter, you know, at some point, and especially if how you use your size. And, you know, like, for example, like the Sharks have Brandon Coe, who's a very big guy, but I don't think he's quite as physical. You know, he hasn't really kind of developed that skill set. And I know Coe is, you know, a fourth round pick, and Fantilli's the number one pick in most drafts type of year. But like that type of thing where, you know, he's already learned how to use his body and use it effectively. And it's not like, you know, he's playing for Michigan, and you play a lot of quality talent when you're playing in the NCAA. Yep. We saw that, you know, when we were tracking Thomas Bortle a couple of years ago. What do you think is like the one thing, not that's going to hold him back, what do you think is kind of the next thing he needs to really focus on to, as he makes his transition from NCAA to AHL or NHL hockey?
I'd say perhaps offensive spacing. He's really good with the puck. But sometimes when it comes to utilizing his speed off the rush, off the puck, when his teammates have the puck and they're streaking up the ice, sometimes I feel like he rushes into lanes, or he's just a bit behind on plays. And it's not a slight on the skating. His skating's really good. Mm-hmm. It's more of a mental thing where you sort of need to space yourself, to pace yourself rather really well when you're entering rushes with teammates, you know, with the puck. I think it's really important for him to sort of learn that, because it's going to add an incredibly, incredibly effective layer to his game, because his on-puck skills are so good. Once he gets the puck, it's off his stick really quickly. He's really intelligent, is able to make plays at high speeds. So if he's able to enter pockets of space at right times, just combine that with his frame, his skating, and his ability to play pucks quickly and to have that high pace of play, I think that combination would be really deadly. So I think that's the main thing that I set as a development objective for.
All right, guys, before we continue with Hattie and getting into Fantilli, talking about kind of his timeline, right? When we expect him to be a NHL player, why maybe him being on the, you know, kind of another year at Michigan isn't going to be the worst thing in the world for him. So before we get into that, I do want you guys to know about our friends over at FanDuel. If you guys don't know by now, FanDuel is the best sportsbook out there. It's our new sports betting partner, the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. You can download the FanDuel app, so you can now bet on the Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You get up to $3,000 back and bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from money line to point spread. So who's going to even score a touchdown? They have a bunch of great props. I'm probably going to take the under in scoring. I think it's like 49.5, and Super Bowls tend to be a little low scoring because it kind of the first quarter or so is a very much of a feeling out process. That's just my tip right now. But the FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And then, I mean, we know nowadays, you know, especially if you're going to be a kind of top line center, potential top line center, coaches, GMs, they want you to play a full 200-foot game. How is he in his own zone? Because, I mean, we've seen plenty of guys who are amazing in their off their own zone, but then when, you know, that's what gets them in trouble, right? That's why coaches bench them or they don't get the same type of playing time is if they're a mess in their own zone. Fantilli?
Yeah. He's above average in that element. I wouldn't say he's, you know, necessarily, I wouldn't call it a bona fide strength or something that is he's elite at, but I think is something that he's already above average at. And it's something that usually develops with time. I think that the time that he's spending right now in the Big Ten facing those the teams that he's facing, the mature, intelligent defenses that he's facing is sort of helping him develop that. You know, having teammates behind him as well who can help him, you know, understand his positioning in the defensive zone. I think he's really good on support. When his defensemen have the puck, he offers low support, especially when they're pressured, when there's a hard forecheck on them. He's always sort of around or below the dots, trying to offer a passing link to them and a sort of outlet for pressure. So that's something he does really well. But off the puck, you know, his stick positioning is pretty good in the defensive zone. He understands his assignments. He does tend to lag on switches sometimes. Sometimes he'll take a bit of a while to understand, oh, I need to go from this man to this man. But these are sort of details that usually are ironed out by the time a player is 22, 23, 24. And he's already playing above his age, way above his age. So, I mean, I don't think it's something that's going to be an area for concern. I think by the time he settles into an NHL role, Adam Fantilli is almost definitely going to be a top six center, and it's mainly because of how complete his game is and how reliable he is in all three zones.
I mean, yeah, you know, that's the defense is usually the thing that kind of takes the longest to develop, right? And that's usually just a repetition thing and getting practice and doing it. And especially as you play or different, different competition, you know, a lot of these guys, they've been the best player on the ice ever since they've touched the ice. And then it's like, okay, once you start to learn, like, okay, I can't just be the best player on the ice. I actually have to like learn how to play defense and stuff. I think, Tony Ferrari was very excited about his potential. Where do you see, like, if Fantilli reaches his absolute like topped out max, what type of player would a team be getting?
Franchise player. I mean, that's about it. He's genuinely that good. I think that he's got the package in order to become, you know, a top, maybe not a top 10 scorer in the league, but maybe a top 15, top 20 scorer in the league. The fact that his playmaking and his goal scoring are so refined already, his stick handling's almost unmatched in this draft class. He can really stick handle extremely well. You saw him try the Michigan at the World Juniors. That did cost Canada a point against Czechia. That was, you know, him and Bedard were trying to outshow each other and all that. And it did end up sort of costing Canada a game, but you can see the skill level with him and just again the frame, the skating. I mean, he's pretty much got it all. He doesn't have any bona fide weaknesses. I really, really, really love this player, and I think he is going to be, you know, at the very least a second line center. That's the worst case scenario with Fantilli, and if you're getting that at second overall, I mean, you're set, right?
Yeah. Speaking of World Juniors, I mean, you know, I know he didn't have like the same role as Bedard and sharing the ice with Bedard, you know. It's easy to make the comparison. Like, well, Bedard scored a bajillion points. Fantilli, you know, he was kind of more of a bottom six guy. What do you take away from his performance at World Juniors? Is it like that he did his role? He did what he was asked to and kind of produced that role?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he showed a lot of projectable elements in this World Juniors sequence. I mean, he still had 5 points in 7 games. That's excellent for a 17, 18-year-old in his draft year. First, to make this Team Canada roster in your draft year, I mean, you have to be an exceptional player. I mean, that fourth line would probably be, I don't know, the first, maybe second line on Czechia, Slovakia, a bunch of other teams. I mean, it's a very, very stacked team offensively, especially. I mean, when you have Owen Beck sitting out, I mean, they had a lot of players that they left off the board and they chose to keep Fantilli. And I think that was the right decision. He played really well in that bottom six. He was struggling at times, especially when it was paired up with some higher end talent. He did start the tournament in the top six, but then he dropped off. He was replaced by Joshua Roy, who was playing on the third line. Joshua Roy got pushed up to the second line. He got put down to the third. By the end of the tournament, Fantilli was on the fourth line, but it wasn't a slide on his game necessarily. I just think, you know, he was what you would expect from a top two, top three overall pick. You know, in his draft, you're playing against the best U20 players in the world. It was just about what you would expect from Fantilli. I think he sort of set what you would think would happen with him, whereas Bedard just he burned it all down. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he straight up dug a trench between him and Fantilli. He said, "You're not crossing." I mean, I'm first. I think that's what happened at this tournament. But that's not to say that Fantilli is a bad player by any means. I mean, again, 5 points to seven games is excellent. When you're that young, playing in a tournament that prestigious, I don't think it's a slight on him. He played really well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Connor Bedard is a generational talent that we only see once every, you know, first time since Connor McDavid was in the draft. Bedard's pretty good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's crazy though. I mean, we used to call them generational talents because they'd show up once every 20 years. Now they're showing, I mean, the gap between Crosby and Bedard and McDavid was what, 11 years? And now 8 years later, we've got Connor Bedard. We also had Austin Matthews, who honestly is sort of starting to look like a generational talent. Mm-hmm. It's just the talent's getting better and better. We've got Jack Hughes, who's just burning things down now. Like, hockey's getting more skillful and more skillful, and it's so good for the game.
Yes. All right, so if the Sharks are lucky enough to get into the second spot, where does Fantilli fit into the prospect pipeline? I assume he would be the best player in the pipeline. Where does he kind of fit with your Eklunds, your Bortolos, your Robins, all those type of guys?
If you have Adam Fantilli and William Eklund as your 1-2 punch for the next 20 years, I mean, the Sharks could be really, really well set. That would be amazing. That would be so good for the Sharks. That would be sort of your new Thornton Pavelski type thing. It would just be excellent for San Jose. For me, Eklund, I've sort of tempered my expectations about him, but I still think that he's going to be a top six center eventually. So, yeah, Fantilli ranks as the best prospect in the Sharks pool if they draft him for sure.
All right. And then what's kind of the timeline for Fantilli? I mean, he's at Michigan. He's going to stay at Michigan as long as he wants. I mean, what do you kind of what's a realistic timeline for him to kind of make the NHL and be an impactful player in the NHL?
He could honestly jump in right away, but I think the right plan would be sort of the Quinn Hughes route, where the team needs him definitely, and he could play right away, but you might as well send him back for another year, just have him sort of burn down the house and have some fun, learn a couple things, and then come in when he's truly, truly, you know, 100% ready, because there's still sort of a buffer zone with Fantilli. There's still some things, like I mentioned, his offensive spacing sometimes, some stuff like that, that he could still develop. And I think that if you place him in a chair in San Jose, where he's playing on a struggling team that, you know, perhaps doesn't make the playoffs, I think what's good for his development is learning how to win. And Michigan with him next year is going to be absolutely scary. I mean, their lineup is already terrifying. So they'll have Gavin Brindley back, a couple other guys back. I think it's going to be good for him to just stay maybe one more year. But I wouldn't be against seeing him in the NHL next year. He definitely could make it.
Yeah, I mean, I think with a guy like that, you let him play out as Michigan. You know, almost like what we saw with Matty Beniers, right? You let him play out. Yeah. And then, all right, come play the last, you know, 10 games or with us. Who cares about that 1 year ELC type of thing? And then look at Matty Beniers right now. He is been an amazing player for the Kraken this year.
Yeah, and he developed something that was really important in his game, which was his physical game. It was something that he needed to sort of improve in some sense, because he was extremely good defensively, extremely tenacious. That's the thing I liked the most about Beniers in his draft year, was how tenacious he was. That didn't go anywhere, but he added on top of that the ability to win physical battles. He added some weight, really improved his mechanics in board battles and all that. and sort of, and when he came to the NHL, he was ready for those scenarios. He didn't have to learn on the fly. It was something that he already had in his sort of tool bag. So I think that it could be the same sort of scenario for Fantilli for sure.
All right, before we finish up with Hattie, we talk about kind of some of the some other draft stuff, right? And then, of course, the blood questions of where will Fantilli go and who's the best non-Connor Bedard prospect in this draft class 5 years from now. Do want to let you guys know about our friends over at Athletic Greens. Right now, new year, new me. You want to maybe take care of your immune system, get more energy, want some better gut health, but you don't like taking a bunch of pills and vitamins. Athletic Greens has got you covered. One scoop of the delicious AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to get your day started right. And they're great for people if you have different diets, if you're paleo, keto, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. My wife, gluten-free, and it's really, really helped her get her kind of stomach on track. So they have over 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes, and they're going to make it super easy for you right now. Visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. You get 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Again, just visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right, let's talk some bigger draft stuff here. So we know Bedard, Fantilli, probably Leo Carlson, number three, that it's not as much as who's going, it's going to be who's getting those picks heading into the lottery. Who some guys that might sneak into the top five that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
So right now, the way I've got my top six going is I've got my first tier, Connor Bedard, my second tier, Adam Fantilli. And then from three to six, it's one tier. I've got Michkov at third, Carlson at fourth, Zach Benson at fifth, and Andrew Crystal at sixth. Those are the four guys that I think you could kind of mismatch and throw in any order, and I'd be okay with it. They're pretty similar in terms of upside. I think that Carlson is a safer bet. I think that he is more likely to be a full-time top six NHL forward, especially at center. With the size that he has, it's going to be very, very sort of coveted by teams. So I think he goes third. I think Michkov is going to go fourth. I don't think he's going to slip too much because that level of talent, especially with what he's showing right now since he was traded to HK Sochi, he's playing with a different team now in the KHL and just tearing it up pretty much. I've been impressed with him. He does have some lackings that are going to turn some teams off. It's beyond just the Russian factor and him being signed until 2026 and all that stuff. He shoots from everywhere, and it's to a fault. Like, genuinely, the amount of shots he's taken from the left corner, like literally trying to bank it off the goalie's head and in. I mean, I like a shot. It's a really, really good shot, but it's not that great, man. Like, make a pass, skate into open ice. Like, but still, he might end up being the best goal scorer of this tournament. That's just of this draft. And that's saying something given who's going first overall. Right. Then you got Zach Benson, who for me is the two-way center in this draft. I think he is the most defensively intelligent player, just the most intelligent player overall in this draft. He understands, you know, spacing, the things that I was talking with Fantilli that can sometimes be lacking. He displays them night in, night out. Understands the ice really well. He always passes with a purpose. He passes because he knows he's going to get the puck back 3, 4, 5 passes later, and it's going to be in the slot open with a shot opportunity. Then you add to that Andrew Crystal, who's sixth right now for me, and you've got a player who might just be the best stick handler in this draft, an incredibly, incredibly good playmaker. His skating needs some work, but honestly, he is just electrifying with the puck, and that level of talent, if you can get that at sixth overall, he probably goes first overall last year. So that's saying something. Yeah. I mean, that's not an opinion that's shared. I know he's outside of the top 10, outside of the top 15 on a lot of rankings. I don't get it. I really see it with Crystal. So yeah, he's my sixth overall pick. Then you got a kind of mismatch of guys from 7 to 12, but that's too many people at this point. So yeah.
I mean, for the Sharks, you know, we're kind of right now, I think they're sitting fifth in the Tankathon rankings. And, you know, as we get closer to the draft, we'll kind of hone in some more. But, you know, just trying to cover all the bases right now. So, yeah. Which maybe kind of middle of the round guys are kind of you're keeping an eye on as the season kind of closes out, might start to kind of jump up some rankings here.
I think Jaden Perron is going to be a top 15 pick by the end of this year. I've seen him outside the first round. I've seen him in the 20s. He's 13th on my board. And yeah, he's right about where I would put him. I think that's where he ends up at the end of the day. He is incredibly skilled, really good with his body. He's 5'8", 157 pounds, but he battles harder and better than most taller forwards. I mean, you compare him to Daniil Boot, who I have outside of my top 50, but I've seen in many top 20s. Daniil Boot, he's 6'5", 200 something pounds. He's a really, really good shooter, but he just gets out-muscled by 5'9", 5'10 defensemen in the MHL really easily. So you compare that to Jaden Perron, who's consistently winning his battles in the USHL, which, yes, isn't necessarily the highest level of competition, but it's higher level of competition than the Russian Junior League. He's facing bigger, stronger defensemen and is doing really, really well against them. On top of that, great stick handler, amazing shooter. Great playmaking. He's got that sort of that hydra that I call the playmaking, shooting, and stick handling. He's got that nailed down. That's one guy. I think Axel Sandin Pelika, who's my 10th overall pick, really showcased what he could do at the World Junior Championship. He had 1 point in 7 games. He only got a secondary assist in the final game against USA, but it was really his play that impressed me beyond the points. He was all over the place. He was trusted with many scenarios for Sweden and did a really, really good job with the ice he had. He's a breakout machine. I don't think I've seen him miss really on the breakout. He's really good in that scenario. I mean, there's so many good options if you're looking. I mean, it depends what you're looking for, because a lot of these players are pretty much tied in my eyes in terms of their upside. So Perron's mainly sort of a right wing center type thing. So Pelika's a right-handed defenseman. He just got rid of Ryan Merkley. So if you're looking to replace him, you've got Axel Sandin Pelika just sitting right there. I think that's a good option.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that, I mean, Sharks are going to pick, of course, they're going to pick whatever the best player is in the first overall pick. But whatever their second pick, if it's either a late round first pick or they're you know, the first pick of the, or the second round pick, I think they're going defensemen. They need to replenish that, you know, that pipeline of defense, which has not really kind of panned out a lot of high end talent recently. Yeah. So I'm like, if I could bet as much money as I could, I would be betting that they pick a defenseman as soon as they possibly can. So
I'll especially tell you what,
not like a clear cut defenseman in the top 10 right now. So
I'll tell you what, I think David Reinbacher would be a great, great fit for San Jose. He's playing in the Swiss National League right now, which is a league that is really, really difficult. Honestly, you look at the guys that play there, and it's a lot of former NHLers. The other day, he outraced Alex Formenton to a puck, made a play, cut to the net, got a shot. I mean, he's a right-handed defenseman, 6'2", 187 pounds. He's burning the Swiss National League right now at 18 years of age. He really impressed me at the World Juniors as well. He's another really, really good breakout facilitator. I don't think he really misses on the breakout either. If Axel Sandin Pelika is off the board by the time they pick, I would jump for David Reinbacher. He was really, really impressive.
Awesome. All right, we'll get you out of here with two questions. These are the blood oath questions. You didn't know this, but I took your blood before you came on. One, where, this is probably one of the easiest ones, where in the draft does Adam Fantilli go?
Second, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's that's pretty easy. I know the top three, it's feels pretty much locked in. 5 years from now, I'm still doing this podcast for some reason. And then who is the best player not named Connor Bedard that comes out of the draft?
Good one. I think at the end of the day, it will be Adam Fantilli, but don't sleep on Matvei Michkov. If he's in the NHL 5 years from now, and he's developed the way I think that he can develop, you might be looking at the best goal scorer out of this draft. So I think it's a tie between Fantilli and Michkov.
All right. Hattie, you've said it all. Where can the people find you?
Well, you can find me at Locked On NHL Prospects. You can just look that up either on Spotify, YouTube, anything like that. Taking a short break right now, just working some stuff out. We'll have some news for you later this month or earlier next month. We're also at LO_NHL Prospects on Twitter. You can find me personally on Twitter as well at HattieK_Scouting. And you can find me on YouTube. I've got my channel as well. If you look up my full name, you'll find it pretty quickly.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Have a good one.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this draft profile. So I'm going to try to right now do one of these a week throughout the season. And then as we get kind of into the offseason, we'll start cranking them up. The goal is to focus on kind of top 15 guys. And then if the Sharks get another first round pick, if not, kind of end of the first round, beginning of the second round guys. That way we can have some nice draft profiles. Try to have our bases covered for you guys this year. If the Sharks in the top five, I don't expect them to trade down. I'd probably be really mad if they traded down, but got to focus on those guys. And like I said, we're going to try to get some more kind of back end of the first round, beginning of the second round, because the Sharks are going to be having a very high pick in that second round, or maybe another first round as we get past the trade deadline. We'll know more. So we're going to try to get a bunch of these covered for you guys. So if there's anybody you specifically want, please let me know, especially on YouTube comments, let me know who you want me to try to cover. I've got a wide variety of friends who, you know, or people who know people. I have can kind of cast a wide net out there to see if I can make sure to cover your guy. We got plenty of time before the draft. So draft profiles are really fun. I like doing draft profiles. So make sure you guys are following me on Twitter at MyFryHole. You can also follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. Listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, Amazon Music, wherever. Watch on YouTube as well. And until tomorrow, bye, friends.